Is anyone out there? You know, some things in life just aren't called for. I mean, there's sometimes we've said something, we've done something, said, boy, that just wasn't called for. But it's also true that some things are very much called for. It's good to be wanted. It's good that somebody cares enough to call out to us. In fact, I'd say that inside of almost all of us, there's this longing to be wanted. I mean, how sad it would be that if there would be no one out there that cared enough about us to call for us. In a sermon that Dr. Thomas Long once preached a few years ago, he told a story of a couple of different people. One of those people was Dr. Carl Edward Sagan, and the other was Grace W. Thomas. Now, Dr. Sagan, he was an astronomer and an astrobiologist. He worked at NASA for many, many years. He pioneered the study of exobiology, which seeks to study the increase of knowledge about the origin and the distribution of life in the universe. He very much promoted a subject called SETI, SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence in the universe. Still exists today, by the way. Out in California, they have these great big radio satellite receivers, and they're constantly sending out messages just directed out into space. And they're always listening to see if somehow there might be some life form out there that might choose to respond to us. It's the old idea, is there anybody out there? Is there anybody out there? Now, Dr. Sagan was once asked, what if there isn't? What if you never get any response to any of these messages? And here's his answer. He said, it's a possibility. But it's a depressing thought that there might not be anyone in our universe trying to call us. Now see, we know as Christians today, we know there is somebody out there. And we know that somebody is indeed trying to call us. Scripture is filled of those moments when God broke into the world of people calling out to them. You read in the Old Testament of Adam and Abraham, or Moses and David, or Jeremiah, or is Isaiah. Well, the New Testament, too, is full of Jesus calling out to people to embrace him, to love him, to follow him. In fact, that's our text this morning. It happened one day as Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee. We find it in Mark chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 16. But he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. And as he's walking beside the Sea of Galilee, it says that he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, said Jesus, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. See, the call was pretty simple and clear, wasn't it? Just follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Jesus never once offered to make them rich or famous. He didn't offer them an increase of pay or better job security. He simply said, come and follow me. I think it's rather amazing they didn't ask about how long the hours were going to be. They didn't ask about if there was going to be a lot of traveling involved in this or if there would be a raise in pay. They simply answered the call to follow. And wow, just stop and reflect upon all the changes that they embarked upon from that very simple and precise invitation. In fact, everything changed. It changed their profession because they literally were fishermen. And now Jesus said, I'm going to change it. That's not what you're going fishing for anymore. You're going fishing with me for the souls of men and women and children. They were going to become fishers of men. I mean, it changed everything. It also changed how they looked at things. I mean, think how often Jesus challenged many of the things that they had held true and dear to that point in their life. I mean, oftentimes he would say, don't you get it yet, guys? That's not the way it's supposed to be. And in the end, Jesus following him, it would mean a radical change, not only in who they were, but who they were soon to become. And the truth is, if we are going to embrace the call of Jesus this morning, then are we too not going to be fishers of men? Can you really follow Jesus and not fish for people? Anyone that says that they've answered his call but they're not changed, then you have to wonder. If we kept reading this morning in the first chapter, you'd also read about the call of James and John, wouldn't you? You know the story. They were with their father in the boat, and they were fishing. Jesus said, come on, guys, I want you too. I want you to come and be with me. And we know that they indeed, they heard and they answered the call as well. Truth is, it's the call of Jesus for everyone, is it not? Just come, follow me. It was the same call that he extended to James and John and Peter and Andrew. It was the same call that he issued to the rich young ruler. He called him to follow him, and he knew. Now, the rich young ruler knew that if I'm going to follow Jesus, it's going to mean some real radical changes in my life, in who I am and what I'll be about. For those of you Christian or scholars here this morning, you know the end of the story, and you know the choice that that young man made. But it's a call for us all. Jesus said, come follow me. In fact, we are told that if we'll embrace the call, we're told that anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we only get to call upon him because he first called out to us. So every Christian, in fact, the only way to be a Christian is to answer the call of Jesus. And that then includes a worldwide life and a worldwide mission. So is there anybody out there? Yes, there is somebody, and you can bet your life on it. In fact, today you can bet your eternity on it. God's call for us is full, it's complete, and truthfully, it's often more than we really are willing to listen to and want to do. But the call is simple and it's unchanged. It's the call to simply walk along Jesus, well, side of Jesus, and to be what he's about. It starts out with a calling simply to experience the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of God in our lives. It's the call to find out that following God is better than all the stuff in the world, whether we've got lots of stuff or money or cars, doesn't matter. Jesus is still better than that. Jesus' call to the rich young ruler was simply to find that what he was missing in his life wasn't going to be filled with stuff, but it was only going to be filled with Jesus. Now, the crazy thing about it, the young man knew that he was missing something in his life, and yet he still chose to walk away from Jesus because his stuff was worth more than embracing him. And so he rejected and he walked away. Our calling this morning is simply to be a part of his church. We all are. God has gifted us with different gifts and abilities, and we're supposed to use them to the glory of God. We're not supposed to keep them and hoard them and try to keep them, but we are to give them away as quickly and as often as we can. We are, as his church, to enthusiastically follow him wherever he leads us, regardless of how young we are or how old we are. There are no age limits. It is a call to share the love of Christ with others, is it not? Do you remember the words of Jesus when he said, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father? Now, if he'd have just stopped there, I can kind of live with that, and I might even find some wiggle room in there. But he didn't. Jesus said, but whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And so our call is to confess Christ before any and all who do not know Christ. Today, there's roughly about 7 billion people in the world. About a third of people claim or have some sort of connection to Christianity. And even if that were true, by the way, and based on the questions, I'm not sure that there truly are Christ followers, but even if that were true, that would still leave 4.5 billion people in the world that don't know Jesus. Every 60 seconds, approximately 108 people die. And 70 to 80 of those people don't know Jesus and are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. See, there is no time to waste when it comes to reaching people. There's no time to slow down and to think about ourselves, about our own comfort and our own taste. But with Christ at our side, we're supposed to be out there proclaiming him and sharing his love. And yes, when it comes to confessing Christ, we're called to confess him before each other. It includes just that, sharing our relationship with Christ with each other. It's important. I love testimony services. Used to be a real staple in the tradition that I grew up in. In fact, you know, every month or so, there was always a testimony service. And I miss hearing how God worked in people's lives, whether it was through some sort of a tragedy or a triumph, but how that God broke into the world and did something to them and revealed something to them, and it changed them. I love hearing how God simply changes lives and takes us from where we are and begins to move us and change us to where he wants us to be. You know, one of the ways that we learn about someone is you got to hear other people talk about them. In fact, you can learn a lot if you say, well, hey, do you know so-and-so? What do you think of them? And they'll tell you. We learn a lot about people that way. Well, it's the same when it comes to God. If people are going to learn about God, even ourselves, as we've been in church all our lives, we learn about God through hearing how God has worked in the lives of others. Is there anyone out there? Yes. Are we wanted this morning? Yes. Are we called for this morning? Yes, we are. And you just never know how God is going what God is going to do in your life as you follow Him. You may be called to do something you never expected to do or be a part of something that you just can't imagine Jesus wants you to be a part of. I mean, it is such a grand journey, this following Jesus. Now, the second person that Dr. Long spoke about was a lady by the name of Grace Thomas. And you wouldn't really recognize that name. You'd have no reason to recognize that name for the most part. She grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. She was the daughter of a streetcar operator. And when she went to college, she went to Georgia Tech. And it was there that she met a young man, and they fell in love, and they got married. And after college, they moved to Atlanta, Georgia. For the most part, especially early on, she was a stay-at-home mom. As the children got a little older, and to help the ends meet a little better, she went to work at the Capitol Building in Atlanta. The children got a little older, and she had a little more time, and she decided that she wanted to go to law school. And so she enrolled in law classes at night after several years, because it took a while to get an education that way. But upon graduation, she announced to her family, she said that she didn't really want to practice law, at least not this, but she wanted to run for office. I thought, well, okay, probably library council or city council, something like that. But she announced she wanted to run for the governorship of Georgia. Now, this was 1954. Not too many ladies running for governor's jobs in 1954. And her slogan that year, I thought it was pretty good, it just say grace at the poll. Not too many did, though. She came in, there were eight candidates that particular year, and she came in dead last, number eight. Probably didn't get too many more votes than her own family, but she gave it her best shot. And her family thought, well, that's probably good. Now we can get on with life and something, a little more practical. But in 1962, she decided that she was going to run for governor again, and she did. And she did what politicians do. She went to all around the little different communities giving those little stump speeches that have become so popular these days. And she was in Louisville, Georgia. And it's on the east side of Georgia. And it was there, in fact, the main thing in Louisville, Georgia was not the town square, but it really was an old closed-up slave market. And that's where she decided she would gather the people in order to give her message. And she's there, and she's giving her speech, and she says, thank God that this has passed away, and that the new has come already. It's time for us as Georgians to join hands together, and move forward together, all races. Doesn't matter. We're going to move forward together. Well, someone in the crowd, remember, 1962, she said, you must be some sort of communist. She says, no, I'm not a communist. They said, well, where did you learn those stupid things that you've been talking about, being together in unity? And she looked up, and the First Baptist Church was right across the street. And she said, I learned it over at a place like that, as she pointed to the steeple of Christ. She said, I was in Sunday school when a Sunday school teacher told me that Jesus loved me and that Jesus loved everybody. And she said, I believed it then, and I believe it today. Grace Thomas lost the election by a landslide. But the truth is, because she was willing to be a Christ follower, she went to places she never expected to go. She was part of saying things she never, ever thought she'd be called upon to say. Simply because she was willing to walk alongside of Jesus and to follow Him. She heard the call, and she answered the call. For Teresa and me, we heard the call. I heard the call when I was 10 years old at a revival service on a Tuesday night. And I remember going forward at the end of the service and kneeling at the altar and asking Jesus to come into my life. And I still to this day cannot explain to you everything that happened there. I was only 10. But even in reflection all these years, I still don't know everything that happened, but I know this. When I opened my life to Jesus, He came into my life. And my life has never been the same since that moment. For Teresa, she heard the call at a movie theater. She was a little older. I think she was 13. But she went to a Billy Graham movie. They were big back in the 70s. And she went to a Billy Graham movie, and at the end of the movie, they gave an invitation for those that were there to embrace Christ. And that's where she made her peace with the Lord and where she started her journey. Together, we have heard the call into ministry, and we answered that call on Easter Sunday, 1987. Wow, what a road that has been. It has led us to places like Indiana and Arkansas, Honduras, and South Carolina. It has not always been easy or smooth, but I'll say this, I'll testify to this morning. Christ has been at our side every step of the way. He's never, ever let us down, and I don't believe that He ever will. You see, when Jesus calls us, it is also a commitment not only to save us, but to walk with us as well. And oh, how important it is that we are ready to answer that call. Think about the story of Bartimaeus. We often call him blind Bartimaeus, but he didn't end that way. The story goes he was a resident of Jericho. And one day he heard a commotion. He couldn't see it, but he heard a commotion. And what he was told was this Jesus from Nazareth was coming by. And I've got to believe that Bartimaeus had heard, hey, you know, he's done miracles. I wouldn't have been surprised if Bartimaeus didn't know that he had healed blindness before. But anyway, he's not going to miss it. He starts calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he's hollering. Now, he don't know, you know, he just hears the crowd, so he's just hollering out. You know what people around him told him to do? Be quiet. Don't worry about it. This is Jesus, and he's headed to Jerusalem, and something really big and fantastic. We don't know what it is, but it's going to be big. In fact, they had no idea how big it was going to be, by the way. But they told him, oh, just wait. Let the moment pass. Don't worry about it. Catch him on his way back through. Do you know what would have happened to Bartimaeus had he not called out for Jesus that day? We know the rest of the story because Jesus didn't pass back through Jericho. He went outside of Jerusalem on a hill that we call Calvary. They put him on an old rugged cross, and it was there that somehow, and I don't understand it all, but I believe it all, somehow he took my sins, and he took your sins, and he took the sins of everybody that has ever lived and everybody that ever will live. And in that moment, somehow, in a love that is beyond anything we can ever understand, in that moment, he redeemed us forever. And had old Bartimaeus waited, he'd have missed his chance. Don't miss your chance this morning. When Jesus is calling out to you, don't miss your chance. Is there anybody out there? Yes, Jesus is out there. And the truth is, I believe he's also walking along the shoreline of our lives today. And the call hasn't changed one bit from the call that he gave to Peter and to Andrew. The call was, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so today, as he walks your shoreline, don't miss his call. Join him. Be a new person from the inside out. Never be the same. Allow him to begin to make changes in you that you can't believe he can make, but he will. Allow him to begin to work in you and to then lead you to places you never expected to go, saying things you never thought you'd say, but he leads you there and he gives you the words and you're able to share his love. Be a part of changing the world this morning by being willing to answer the call. Let's pray. Lord, we are so humbled and we are so challenged by your words. I don't know why you love us. I don't know why you called us, but I know that you have. And Lord, I thank you that as you called out and as you are embraced, that you begin to do in us things we cannot do for ourselves, that you begin to change the way that we think, the things that we see. Lord, help us to be humble and open this morning. Not willing, Lord, that we would let this moment pass, but that we would embrace your call upon our lives. Lord, we know that that call not only means forgiveness, but it also means that we have a message to share. Empower us that come this week, whether at work or the harvest party or wherever it is, empower us that we might be fishers of men. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for that challenging message from God's Word to our hearts this morning. I'm going to ask the church to stand together and sing number 373. We're going to sing all three verses. Each one of them has a kind of challenge to our hearts and our lives. And if you're this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus as Savior, He's walking across your shoreline of salvation. Don't leave this service without coming to this altar and personally accepting Christ. As a believer, you may be here, and as a believer, He's been walking along the shoreline of your life for service. And this morning, because you love Him and you want to be more fully committed to His purpose in your life, you'd like to come to this altar and just here dedicate your heart anew to the ministry of Christ in this world. We invite you as a believer to come and dedicate your heart to where He leads, you will follow. Let us stand. Sing it prayerfully. Sing it from your heart to the Lord. And you respond as God leads. The words together, because it talks about Him giving us grace, giving us power, and again joining and singing the chorus. Reading together, He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way.
I don't know that God created other life in our universe. God certainly could have. He created us. But this I know, there is somebody out there. And He's not only out there, but He's also here on this earth with us. Through His Spirit, He now leads us. May God bless you as you share the love of Christ this day.
It's God from whom all blessings flow. Again, may God bless you, and until you are dismissed.